365 days a year.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing today?
You know, Santa Barbara is lucky to have Arlington Financial Advisors, and you know, we say it has vast resources, and yet the only person we ever hear from is you. Are there other people at Arlington?
It's funny that you should say that, Neil. Today we have in studio as a guest our managing partner Joe Weiland of Arlington Financial Advisors. He's a certified financial planner, and if you have questions, you should gear him up. Take down the number 564-1290 and call in with some questions. But first, we're going to do some articles.
Yes, and I guess you're going to be on your A game today because the senior partner of the firm is here.
I'm always on my A game, Neil. Come on.
Okay, that's first.
Except at Bocce. We lost again last week.
Wow. What's happening?
I know. We're falling apart. I think it's the cold weather.
So why don't you begin with your...
Perfect. I will. So the article that was forwarded to me by a very important person in Neil's life is called Money is Power and Women Need More of Both.
Is that true?
It is true. And I think it's really a theme that's going on in newspapers and articles around the country, because as more and more women there's a backlash from the Trumpism, if you will, and they're running for political office in record numbers. And this article is about, but there is one barrier yet to be toppled, and it's still money. So of the 2,043 billionaires on the annual Forbes tally, there are 227 are women. Most of that small group have inherited their wealth. And so, you know, even though with Hillary Clinton being the first woman to campaign for president and women were donors and political bundlers for Hillary, still men gave the most money and were the largest individual donors. And so it begs the question of why. And so this article goes into the research behind it. And the reality is parents spend more time talking about money with boys than girls last year, according to a T. Rowe Price study. And so even though female donors are up, their donations are not. So in other words, they're giving in smaller increments than their male counterparts. And so why do we think that is? You know, one of the article quotes says, yet many women, those who grew up wealthy and those that did not, have been long steered away from unapologetic drive for wealth. And so recently, last year, there was a film about women on Wall Street called Equity, where Naomi Bishop was the character's name, played by Anna Gunn, states baldly, I like money. And it was a jaw-dropping moment because such portrayals of women are so rare. And the void, what the article goes on to say, is that it's a void in the films. It's a void in what people are hearing, what people are seeing. And we don't like to show strong women liking money on screens. And it doesn't sell. And so until that paradigm shifts and it's okay for women to like money just as much as men like money, women are going to be continually left out of the power struggle, because with money comes power. And I think, you know, what I think about when I read this article was really locally here we have Women's Economic Ventures, whom we've had Marcia Bailey, the founder and CEO of that nonprofit in town. She always says that money equals freedom and power, because once you're in control of your economic future and you can handle the money side of your equation, it really does give you power and it gives you the ability to make decisions for yourself. And so as a society, we need to really, the article goes on to say that we really need to start with our children, and hopefully this first woman running for president, a lot of women in our country brought their daughters with them to vote and to the polls in their white pantsuits. And hopefully that will change the paradigm so that the girls of today aren't going to grow up wanting to be the political candidates, but rather bankroll those political candidates.
If you look at the history, not so distant, women 100 years ago were considered in English law property. And in the 60s, a woman couldn't get a credit card unless her husband signed off on the credit card. That's really
right. It makes me think of the Virginia Slims, the cigarette ads of "We've come a long way, baby." And maybe we have, but economically, we need to close this gap in order for true equality to be there.
So at Arlington Financial, are you have more women clients than men clients?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say it's about equal.
It's probably equal. I would bet there might even be more women than men.
Well, that's what I mean. And the irony is, just like men won't ask for directions, as someone that was in the business, I find that men think they know more than they do. Women think they know less than they do. And so probably women are better able to take advice and utilize that advice than men, who are more likely to think they know what they're doing.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because the studies show that if you do a job posting and you have, let's say, 10 qualifications that the candidate needs to have going into this job, women will say, oh, I have 9 but not 10, so I shouldn't apply. Men look at it and see that they have one qualification that's listed, and they're like, oh, I got this in the bag. And it's a way that, as society, we need to change this paradigm, change the way we're raising our children so that they are equal.
So the next article that we have is kind of sad in a way, because this is about why wages are not going up. We're going through an incredible boom in the economy. Corporate profits are at record highs. Profit margins are at record highs. And yet we're not seeing what was expected to be a rise in wages. So I have probably the longest article I've ever brought in. It's like 20 pages long. And the title of the article is An Economic Detective Story, Why American Workers Aren't Getting a Raise. And the article has a bunch of reasons, but what they're saying overall is that the problem is that companies are sitting on their cash, giving it back to shareholders through dividends and share buybacks. And yet, one would expect, in terms of pure capitalism and economics, that with 4.7% unemployment, and which is essentially full employment and good corporate profits, we would be able to predict that wages would be going up. And here are the reasons that this author says is why we're not seeing that. Is, first of all, we have companies that are essentially in monopoly form. In the last 15 years, we've had a two-thirds of American industries are in more concentrated hands than ever before. We've seen a decline of 50% in listed companies. And so what we have is a situation in which we don't have many choices if you're an employee. And one of the things we talked about a few weeks ago is that people, because of their economic situation, can't move so readily, either because of lack of capital or because of lack of skills. And it used to be that people would move to the cities and be able to have choice. And in the cities, we do see wage rises that are expected given the improvement in the economy.
Especially Denver. You know, geographically speaking, as more and more companies start going to Denver, you start to be able to command a better wage.
Right. And, you know, the examples they give about why that happens, if you're a nurse and you work in a community that has one hospital, you know, you're at the mercy of that hospital. If you're a nurse in New York, there are 8 hospitals. So that's pretty logical. The other thing that they're saying is that we've had an increase in what they call it market power that has resulted in markups going up. What's markup? It's the average dollar amount that companies charge for their project over cost. In 1980, the average markup, I don't know where they get the statistic from, this report comes from the University at the College of London, said, was 18%. In 2014, the average markup was 70%. So what you have here is profit margins going up, partly because of higher of markups, which just does not get pushed down into wages if, in fact, the lack of unions, lack of power that employees have, and the profit margins are just not floating down. And they give a couple of examples of the sort of monopoly power. Two corporations control 90% of American drinks. High-speed internet, 75% of households have no choice but only one provider. There are four airlines that dominate airline traffic. Most health insurance markets have only one or two health insurance. Four companies control the entire U.S. beef market. So there's this, you know, concentration that makes it not only profit margins go up, but opportunity for employees not to be available.
Especially if you're in one of those niche markets where, you know, you're trained for, let's say, beef that only gives you four choices.
Yeah. And then also there are too many towns that have one employer. So if you're a steel worker in a steel town or a coal worker in a coal, there's only one mine. There's only one steel company. And the new steel monopoly is Walmart. So many, many towns just have Walmart as the major employer. And basically, Walmart can then create the wage level that people have to accept. The other significant thing is that when they did a study to look at when wages went up with the GDP, and they found it was correlated to the number of strikes that unions had. And with, you know, right-to-work states and with unions losing power, we not only have less labor employees, we have very few strikes.
And well, isn't there a there's a case pending in front of the Supreme Court currently about whether or not if you should have the right not to join the union even if you're employed. So it's continually to weaken the union. So based upon this article, Neil, what do the tax cuts for corporations, what is that saying?
Well,
what is that detective looking for there?
Well, he doesn't say, but I can say it. And the reality is, over the last 2 months, what we've seen from the studies I've seen so far is that almost all of the money that companies are saving are going into share buybacks or higher dividends, which is just what one would have expected. It's not going to increase. It's not going for plant equipment, and it's not going for wages, which is why, you know, I think the only thing that we're going to get from higher from the tax cuts is inflation and more distribution of wealth that basically favors the very rich, which is really, I think, one of the fundamental problems with this society, where if people give up on capitalism as a way of having a equal opportunity for everyone to be part of the middle class, and that goes away, then people who really aren't, you know, don't have an MBA are going to blame the establishment. And then we get into this political climate that we're in now, where everyone hates everybody.
What's interesting is this weekend I was reading an article about Dave Ramsey, you know, the radio host who's basically, you know, helps people get out of debt. It's very common, very, very much in line with red states. He's very popular. And he does a great job at what he does. And he was quoted as saying that he's never before in his 30 years of doing this seen as much as many people have feel like they have so little control over their destiny. Yeah. And so that's really worrying him.
That's true. People do. He's right. People do have very little control. If you're working in a small town that has one employer and you don't have the skills and you don't have the ability to move, you really have no chance. And, you know, one of the sad things is that you would think people with wealth would be more concerned about stability and give some of that great wealth to everyone just to have a country that has more equality. And, you know, that's my lecture for today. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
If you have trouble handling your anger, get help. If someone you love is hurting or scaring you, get help. There is a full-service domestic violence agency in Santa Barbara County, which offers emergency shelter, counseling, transitional housing, anger management, and teen outreach programs. Its name is Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County. Call their 24-hour helpline at 964-5245. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, putting an end to domestic violence.
Did you know that domestic violence sends more than 500 women and children to emergency shelters every year? There is a place where all family members affected by domestic violence can get help. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, with four 24-hour phone lines to help. In Santa Barbara, call 964-5245. In Santa Maria, call 925-2160. In Lompoc, call 736-0965. And in Santa Ynez, call 686-4390.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner.
And we have in studio with us today Joseph R. Weiland, who's better known as Joe, who is the managing partner of Arlington Financial Advisors and my mentor in the business. I have worked with Joe since 2000.
Since 2000.
And right. Joe has been in the financial services industry since 1988.
Exactly. So this is my 30-year anniversary right this year, as a matter of fact, a month ago.
Wow, 30 years.
It goes by like a blink of an eye, let me just tell you. It's fascinating because there's certain businesses or certain things that you get, might get worn out in. The truth is, after 30 years, you learn more things every single time you sit down with a client and you find something out new from each one of these clients. It's pretty fascinating.
So let's start with, what do you think the best story in your 30 years of helping people make sound financial decisions is?
You know, the best stories are always just the roughest stories. Okay, let's just say that's where you,
how about this? Instead of the best story, where you think you made the most impact?
That's a tricky one to answer. The thing that's really interesting is you have these people who will quote you 12 years later. They'll say, Joe Weiland, what you told me was this. And it always have something to do about, starting younger. These stories that everyone has. People go along in their life. They're kind of, I call them blissfully ignorant. And suddenly they'll have a day where they look. Maybe their parents call them up for help, or maybe they realize they have to educate their children, send them off to college. And they look at themselves. They realize, we haven't done a thing yet. We're in trouble financially. And then they start, casting around trying to figure out what to do, and they'll end up in our office, and we give them a context and an understanding where they're at and how they actually move forward. And we teach them about how they how the money that they have today and money that they'll be accumulating over the rest of their lifetime, how it can add up to really be something. And the thing that I think is really where we've had the most impact is helping people understand that, in fact, they do have the resources they need, that, in fact, they do have the capacity to take care of their future.
From a business model standpoint, though, if that is part of, and I think it is true, that many, many people aren't in a position at that moment when they have this epiphany to retire or to feel financially secure, how do they motivate themselves to pay for financial planning? It's like if somebody's really wealthy, they don't need it maybe as much in some ways, and they can pay you. But what about someone that is making a good living but save nothing? Are they in a position where they can actually compensate you appropriately?
Well, this goes back to Diane's comment that women are more likely. I'm not sure how you said, but women are more likely to take advice where men might not take advice. There's a certain number of people who don't have that much money and they would never get advice anyways. My condolences to them. You know, they don't end up in our office, okay, because they're not going to take advice and they don't perceive that. But you can be, you don't have to have a large amount of money. What we do is we have a couple different ways that you can engage our services. There is a fee basis where you can just pay for a financial plan. And people come in and we'll go spend basically about four meetings. You know, one is information gathering. Second one is all about education, trying to get them a good, solid understanding of where the finances work. The third is really projecting where they're at and how that translates into the future, gives them homework and things that they need to complete. And then we have a fourth meeting where we sit down and go through all that homework. And there might even be another follow-up or two. But that's done on a fee basis. It's about $3,000, so it's reasonably priced. And the way people spend $3,000 in this day and age, if they don't think their future is worth $3,000.
Well, something you said, Neil, though, is that the people that can afford it, you know, yeah, they'll come in, or they don't necessarily need our services as much. It's actually almost the opposite. The more money people have, the more help they actually need, because they actually need to understand that they do have enough so that they can enjoy their lives. It's interesting to watch, but as people create wealth for themselves, they actually end up in a place where they're more concerned that they don't have enough. And it's a job to help people see that it will be okay and you will have enough and you can retire and help them through that process.
And one of the advantages that I think is pretty clear for your business model is that $3,000, you know, for what you get is really not much, and you're not selling anything. And so if you go to a broker or even a trust department of a bank, they're going to maybe not charge you as much or anything, but ultimately it's going to be much more because they have an incentive to have you do something, whereas you're really on the customer's side. So
absolutely,
if they think about that, going to a place like Arlington Financial is really a much smarter thing to do.
Well, there's no product. So in our business, you come to us, you have an issue, we're not incentivized to use any particular product or investment just because we need to get paid. And I think that's a huge difference between going to a brokerage firm as opposed to going to someone like us where we're independent. And
we live by the fiduciary standard. And the fiduciary standards, we have to do the right thing for our client. It doesn't mean that we don't charge fees, but the client has to know what the fees are. It's interesting. A good friend of mine, his brother sent me something yesterday to review a suggestion that was recommended to him. And boy, it was a glossy brochure. It had quotes from John Muir in it. It had all kinds of beautiful things in it. But at no point did it show what the fees were that they were going to spend. It did mention that you won't get all your money back right away. But you know, there's a lot of these things out there that are not fully disclosed. And so if you don't know exactly what you're paying, you're probably paying more than you think.
Well, you're buying an annuity.
Well, that was an annuity.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it was.
It was really nice, glossy sheet. You know, and this guy's a big outdoorsy guy, so he liked the John Muir quote. So he felt like, oh, then this must be good for me.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I think what's interesting, Joe, is, you know, you have lots of quotes that I oftentimes re-quote. But the one I think you like the best, and sometimes I use it too, but there should be no such thing as emergencies in financial planning. If there's an emergency today, this means that there was a mistake made 5 years ago. And so what does that mean to you? How would you define that?
Well, okay. So, you know, something timely and tragic is, you know, we've worked with the community and we received a phone call from some people who passed away in one of the recent tragedies. And 4 years ago, I forced them to sit down and do their wills and trusts because they had literally nothing in place up until that point. And, you know, it would have been it was a tragedy, but it would have been a tragedy compounded had we not taken care of things 4 or 5 years ago.
We've got to take a break, but that's a really good point because financial planning is not just picking a mutual fund. It's about keeping your whole financial house in order. We can get back to that when we return. You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The Dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have anybody to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we have a caller, Neil. Hi, caller. Thanks for giving us a call. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thanks for putting me through. So I just graduated college, and I have about $50,000 in debt. I'm kind of torn between whether I should start saving or should I try and pay that off first.
So number one, are you employed yet?
I am.
Excellent. Excellent. So
congratulations.
Yeah, that's the first step after college. So it's going to be a balance because what we do know for a fact is given that your student loan debt is not forgivable, you will pay it off.
Right.
What's debatable is to whether you will ever save or not. So if you start the pattern of savings now, then by the time you get that student loan paid off, you will have something built up, and that'll start to compound for you. What you really want to do, and what everyone should want to have, is some kind of equity position where you have something growing at all times, even when you're not working. And there's only one person who get that started, and that's you.
And routine helps. You know, if you save a dollar. My father was a depression baby, and what he did is he started when he had no money. He would go every Friday when he got his paycheck and buy a bond, you know, for like, you know, he would take, I guess, the $25 every paycheck. Every other week he would get a paycheck, and he would just do it. He did it his whole life. And, of course, he forgot about it, and when he died, we found in his closet.
You had a good inheritance?
Well, I no, because my sister got it. But he had boxes of this thing, and it was habit forming. Even when he had more money, he still bought a $25 bond. It was just a habit. So one of the things about savings is you got to get into the routine.
And really, if your employer provides a 401k, that's the easiest way for you to save. And so what I would do is I would look at what your expenses are, look at what your income is. There should be a sizable amount left over. If not, you need to go into that budget and start looking at things that you can reduce and then split the difference of half to debt and the other half to 401k savings. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing how quickly that 401k, especially if your employer has some sort of matching program, really will add up. And it's fun to watch. Now,
I always like to tell the story of my sister, who at age 18, you know, one of the hallmarks of my own personal family was the minute you could move out of the house, you did. Because my parents made sure it was just comfortable enough to stay till 18 in a minute. After that, you move somewhere. And my sister went across the street literally and worked at an insurance company. And I think the first day, and she was a key punch operator, so she never made that much money. But day one, they handed her the forms, and she checked all the boxes for the savings. And so what you'll see is if you save for 30 years, you get a compounding effect. So if you start at, say, 38 savings, that's 68 when you have all this money compounded out there. If you start at age 18, by the time you're 48, which is where my sister was, who never was beyond a low-level manager because she hit a glass ceiling, you know, not having a college education and being a woman, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, she had a pretty massive retirement plan. You know, she worked for a few more years, and she retired at 52. As you know, starting as a key punch operator, which that actually was a job at one point in time, and some people even know what that is.
Yeah, I was going to say for the younger people, can you tell us what a key punch operator is?
There was a day when IBM didn't even have magnetic strips to record information; they recorded on these little punch cards, and these little punch cards had little holes in them, and depending where the hole was a zero or a one in the big system in the sky that we call the internet today. And so she was responsible for putting those little holes in there, and with that, she was able to retire.
Well, thank you, caller. So I have another issue that ties into what we were saying before the break, and that is, it's not just people who are not sophisticated that need overall financial planning. If you look at the catastrophe in Montecito, I can't tell you how many people I know that are sophisticated, retired people that had no idea what their insurance was.
Right.
That had no idea how important their house was in terms of total assets, because they never looked at it past the 20 years ago.
Neil, what we do is, in my mind, what financial planning is, you'd have to take a look in the entirety of someone's situation. We on an annual basis, in the first part of the year, we sit down and go through everyone's net worth statement. We take a look at every single asset, every single liability, all their loans they have, what are their rates, all that sort of thing. We take and get a final number of where we are today. Take a look at where it was a year ago, what's changed between since then to now, and give everyone a kind of a reference point. Our next meeting, we sit and we go through estate planning and insurance needs. So taking a look, and I can assure you that this first, the second quarter this year, we're going to be evaluating what kind of coverage do you actually have and will it rebuild what you are living in today? What kind of life insurance, disability, all that sort of thing as well. And do you have a current will and trust? I mean, that's part of what financial planning truly is. It's not just, buying ABC Mutual Fund. Third quarter, we go into great detail on the mutual funds that we hold and other holdings and make sure everyone understands exactly where we are in the market cycle and what kind of returns they've seen. Fourth quarter, we get to everyone's favorite topic, which is taxes. And have they done what they can to minimize it? Have they done what they should to take advantage of tax-deferred savings? Are they taking advantage of that 401k that you were talking about, Diane? Are they getting the full match? Or if they own their own business, which many of our clients do, they have the right pension plan set up?
And that is so important because especially for the self-employed, there are so many different retirement planning tools that you can use. A 401k plan, you can put away $18,500 a year if you're under 50, or there's a $5,000 catch-up if you're over age 50. But as a self-employed individual, there are, depending upon how much money you can put away in any given year, there are a bunch of different options, which at times can get you well into the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you could save for yourself. And it's a nice way for those of us who didn't start early to do some catch-up in terms of your retirement savings.
And, one of the two things that I think hurt people in a lot of areas, but certainly in investments, is inertia, which is a very powerful emotion, and overestimating your knowledge. All of the studies that have been done where they've asked even sophisticated people at Harvard Business School questions about finance that are pretty elementary, people were certain they had the right answers and they didn't. And so one of the good things about a annual financial review is that it forces you, even given inertia, to take a look at things that otherwise you wouldn't. And a financial planner is indispensable, if for nothing else, but it's a discipline that makes you take a hard look with someone who knows what they're talking about.
Absolutely. And what I like about the 401k plan is it's exactly that. If you can get people to enroll in their 401k plan early, then it's part of that inertia where you've never had that excess funds. It's always been savings, and you're paying yourself first. And that's really how you're going to be able to save for retirement.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
People's Self-Help Housing is a national award-winning nonprofit organization celebrating 35 years of experience in creating affordable housing and self-sufficiency programs for lower-income families, seniors, and those with special needs. People's Self-Help Housing has helped to create over 1,000 self-help ownership homes and over 1,200 affordable rentals. 400 children annually are served through their K-12 education enhancement programs. People's Self-Help Housing is committed to expanding its core vision of providing housing for low-income families, seniors, and the physically challenged. The organization also provides complimentary social services designed to assist each resident. People's Self-Help Housing believes that affordable, safe, and quality housing leads to healthy communities, which benefit us all. You can help in these efforts to create more housing and related social services by calling 962-5152. That's 962-5152.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food.
Cha-ching. You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
So on the break, we were talking about that stereotypical relationship that we see out there of, you know, maybe not my generation, but the generation before me, where the wife knows the cooking and the guy handles all the finances. I won't say who we were talking about. But Joe, when you know, we see that fairly often. The people come to us and really look at it, and the guy usually says, oh, we're here because if anything happens to me, I want my wife to be taken care of. Now, how would you, for those of our listeners listening out there, how would you advise them, and what should they do today to make sure that their spouse is protected? Whether, you know, in my relationship, it's the opposite because this is my role. So whatever the spouse is that doesn't handle the finances, what advice would you give
them? Does your husband cook?
Actually, he is a better cook than I do, but we both do it.
Okay.
Well, it's true that it's 50-50 as far as who's in charge of the finances in a family. Many times it's the woman, many times it's the man. Occasionally it's really balanced, but let's just say that's the exception, which is one of the reasons why when we sit down with people, we like to have the husband and wife together, because if not, at least once or twice a year, they both know exactly where they stand. And they also have everything written down in one place. Because what's really tricky, and we were joking about this, is at the break, just put all your stuff at least in one big banker's box so we, you know, the spouse that's remaining can find all the information. Most people, they have things scattered throughout the house where they're, oh, here's my insurance is over here. I've got, you know, the bank records there. There's an investment account there. I've lost three 401ks because I left my, you know, two different companies and I never tracked it since. We have people who come in and it can take us a year and a half to get everything consolidated. You know, and imagine the person who's actually in charge of things, if they're missing from the picture, you may lose accounts and never get them again. I mean,
especially with online access, you know, it's a great convenience to us all. But if you're the only one that knows all the passwords and your spouse doesn't, it makes it very difficult when they're no longer with us.
So I have two financial planners here today. So let me ask you a personal question. You know, the cobbler's son gets
no shoes.
Those shoes, and the doctor that, you know, the lawyer who uses himself as a lawyer, as a moron, as a client. What do you do for financial planning? Do you think because you're such a good financial planner, you don't need to speak to Diane, and Diane, you don't speak to Joe? I mean, do you have any way of getting an objective view of your own situation? Or are you like the typical guys, we don't need it?
No, actually, in our firm, what we do is all of us have assigned somebody else to be our financial advisor.
Oh, okay.
The problem with that, though, is getting them to the meeting.
This is putting their money where their mouth is. That is, everyone needs a financial planner, even a financial planner.
Absolutely, because it's hard to make your own decisions. Basically, what we're there for is that second opinion that isn't the angel and devil on your shoulders telling you to do things, but rather solid, objective advice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got a good sense of where I'm at, but it's when I sit down, I talk with Diane about where I'm at, and I say, this is what's going on, and she gives me feedback that, you know, I see things that I might not have otherwise seen. And it also helps my wife and I to be on the same sheet of music.
Because I don't know about you, but most spouses, when one tells the other one what to do, it doesn't go so well.
And they may or may not believe them.
No, but you see, I've been married almost 49 years, and the secret of my success is I do as I'm told.
I'm going to give you Rob's number.
Maybe you can
I keep trying for that outcome, but it's not going that way.
share the secret, please.
So, Joe, overall, in your 30 years of financial planning, what advice do you see that would be relevant to everybody? What advice do you think is the most valuable?
Consistency. Yeah, you get these touchstones of what you see people do. And people who change things, you know, all the time, they never get a rhythm, they never get that inertia, that consistency going, whether it's consistently saving, whether it's consistently working in the same job, whether it's staying with the same spouse for, you know, more than 5 years at a time, that's helpful. But, you know, people who change their careers mid-career on a regular basis, although that's supposed to be the new standard, what you see is people who suddenly go to the bottom of the pay scale. They retool. They spend a lot of whatever savings they had on education. You know, consistency and a lot of it, you know, from a financial planning perspective is about saving, but it's more broad than that.
So another question that I often get is, you know, how am I doing relative to everybody else? And the good news on that is we see hundreds of net worth statements of people a year. Now, what would you say is for Santa Barbarans specifically, what do you think is a characteristic that stands out?
I can say this unequivocally. All the people listening right now have too much money tied up in their houses. That's a fact.
They have less now.
they might have less this week, but give it two more weeks. That's the one standard that goes on in this town is people who buy houses have a lot of money tied up in it because we are not in a normal part of the world as far as how much our houses cost. But when I think of, you know, how am I doing relative to other people, what's really important is how am I doing relative to what I need. You know, if you're a person who flies first class and only stays in the finest hotels, I can assure you, you need the there's something I call the power lifestyle, okay? It's the person who makes a lot of money and they're stressed out all the time. And so when they go on vacation, they absolutely have to stay at the very nicest hotel and they have to fly first class and eat at the best restaurants. They get back from that vacation, quote unquote, and they're more stressed at the end of the vacation because they just spent way too much money on it, and they get back to that high-powered job, and they work, 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 work. Well, they may have a strong income, but their net worth's maybe not built. What we're looking for is real balance in someone's life, where they have more, they have enough money relative to their needs.
That brings me to that the story that that I tell people often is, it doesn't matter how much you make, it matters what you don't spend of that or what you save. We have clients who are never made more than $50,000 a year, and they're multimillionaires today because they always spent less than what they made. And in retirement, it's much of the same. In retirement, they didn't go out and start living that power lifestyle. They stayed in the same consistent lifestyle, and today they're multimillionaires. And it's something that I think gets lost, because in the beginning of your financial in the beginning of your life or your early financial career, when you start, is always the hardest.
Well, you got to live from the 2-page book on finances. There's page number one. It's called Spend Less Than You Make. And not everyone can live on less than they make. So they have to go to page two. Page two is Make More Than You Spend. And if you don't have one of those two pages that you're living from, you're really not going to be a long-term success financially.
And I also want to put in my two cents in the question that you asked before about what are the key things that you need. And I think one of the things that people need is discipline, in that you can be told what to do, you can actually do it, but sometimes you don't have the discipline to maintain that strategy. So, you know, people will be smart and not move in and out of stocks with the market, but at some point they just give up and say, I'm going to follow, I can't take it anymore, in either direction, because they miss the market or the market's too low. And it's very difficult for human beings to have the discipline to stick to what they know is right after they get the advice from a financial planner. So that's a characteristic that in life in general, people just don't have, and they really need to do that to be successful. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you ready to start and run your own successful business? Ready to grow your small business or home business? Women's Economic Ventures is a local nonprofit helping women start and build successful businesses. In addition to their highly successful self-employment training program, Weave offers services to help women succeed at every stage of their business, from startup and launch to building and sustaining a business, including individual business counseling, professional networking events, advanced business training, and small business loans to start or expand a business. Over 1,000 local businesses are now owned and operated by women who have taken part in programs and services. Whether you're ready to start up, launch, build, or sustain your business, Women's Economic Ventures is right here to help you make it happen. Call 965-6073 or visit weaveonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So if you're just joining us, we have Joe Weiland, the managing partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, my firm in town, and my mentor, or in town, in the studio, my mentor. And so we talked a little bit about what people need. What advice would you have for a wealthy individual who, you know, they don't work with somebody, or maybe they do, but it's a very much a traditional brokerage relationship as opposed to an overall wealth management, financial planning basis, what advice do you have for them?
Well, we were just talking about people with relatively smaller net worths. A larger net worth is really tricky as well, in that mistakes are compounded. When people have a loss, they can have a loss that's, you know, numbers that would be shocking. You can have people who lose $1 million. We have a woman that came in the office the other day, and through three or four pieces of bad advice, I think she lost $5-6 million. And, you know, which in this town, most people don't deal with that, but the category of people that do, that really does happen to people through bad advice or not watching things or overconfidence. What we have seen is people who receive a lot of money and maybe didn't build it themselves have this expectation that money grows very quickly and easily. And they'll believe unrealistic promises that are out there. And so education and grounding is very important for those people. The people who have made money over their entire life and they've built it up themselves, they're smart enough to know not to trust people necessarily, because they've also seen that situation where money disappears very quickly. I will say this, money is made very slowly and it goes away very quickly.
So for those people looking for a financial planner and financial advice, what characteristics or what qualities should they be looking for in a person?
Well, number one, they have to be a fiduciary. They have to hold the client's interests at the same level as their own. They have to disclose their fees. They have to be comprehensive in nature. They also have to be, and when I say comprehensive, they have to look at the big picture. It's not just, here's an opportunity to make some money. It's more what we want to be goal-oriented, and goal being long-term financial peace of mind. They want to look for a firm that fits their demographic and has all the resources that they need. So it's, you know, needless to say, I'm describing, you know, a lot of what Arlington does, but we built it specifically to take care of our clients. You know, it's not been an accident to get to where we are.
And so if somebody's listening out there, Joe, and they want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
I would take a look at our webpage, ArlingtonFinancialAdvisors.com or ArlingtonFA.com. There's access points right there. You can either send us an email or the telephone number's right there. Just give us a call.
And what about the other side of the equation, which we haven't touched on? What about people that did very well and never spent a cent, and they're getting older? Do you ever have to advise people to start spending?
Oh, that's honestly, I tell all of our clients that we're going to create the problem, and then we're going to have to solve the problem. If you don't create the problem first, which is too much money, by the way, there's only two ways in this world you can have it, right? There's too much or not enough, and not enough is not okay. So you get to the point where they have too much, then they really have to be encouraged to relax and spend it a little bit.
And those conversations, Neil, I have to say, are really fun, because you can see the excitement in the client's eyes and what they like to do and how they can make their life the very best life that they possibly can.
But we talked about habits of saving. I know people, sometimes they just can't
they
break
can't
the
do
habit.
It. No, they cannot
can't do it. And they end up, you know, the joke is, you know, you fly first class or your kids will. But a successful financial plan would result in someone having to face up that they can start spending at some point.
Well, and a lot of what we do is we model it out so that that you can actually see a visual and have a tangible piece of paper to hold on to see what the different scenarios look like and how, no matter what they do, they will have enough at the end.
And usually, you know, through planning, you usually have 5, 6, 7, 8 years of you know, kind of runway. Say, okay, well, you know, right now it's very important you to save. There comes to be a point where savings isn't as important. It's more like letting the fruit mature and ripen. And so you have 5, 6, 7 years where the money actually just has to grow. And then after that, it's, you know, you're now at the point where you can harvest. And really, you want to make sure you do harvest and you don't leave it fallow on the tree.
So if you want to harvest, don't forget to call Arlington Financial Advisors. Thank you so much for being here today.
Neil, thank you.
Very interesting. You have all been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.